What's up, Commit Equip fam? This is Eric Nam.
This is Eddie Nam.
How are you, dude?
Dude, I am doing okay. How about yourself?
Okay. You know what? Okay is the best that we can ask for these days, but it's fine. I'm doing well. My album's out, and so I hope you guys are listening to my hot fire new album. It's called The Other Side.
Yes.
Eddie, what's your favorite track off the album?
We got some smashes. Probably How You Been. I love Paradise,
really?
But I really love How You Been. And you know how I feel about that song.
Really?
Yeah.
That's been like a sleeper. You remember when we first put that together, you were like, I don't like it. And I was like, what? Hold on, bro.
But then I called you back the next day. I go, actually, this is a smash. It's just some of the English lyrics, they weren't speaking to me. But then when you put it into Korean, it was like pretty fantastic. Melodically, all right. Great song.
Thank you.
Anyways.
Right. Well, everybody, we hope you're safe, we hope you're healthy, and we hope that this podcast and all of our podcasts on the Dive Network is making your summer a little bit more enjoyable and bearable. And while this may sound like a very standard greeting at this point, we really, truly, truly hope that you guys are doing well. And we hope that you're wearing masks.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer, okay? Because, you know, this week on Commit or Quit, we are joined by a very special guest. And this is actually the first episode where we discussed an animation. So for those of you who are into this anime type of TV show format, this episode should be right up your alley.
Yeah, you know what? Like I've, you know, admittedly never really watched anime. I've never really gotten into anime, but I got a good feeling about this one. And, you know, our guest today, he's a super talented, good-looking Filipino Canadian dude. His name is Manny Jacinto. A lot of you guys may know him from his role as Jason Mendoza on NBC's metaphysical sitcom The Good Place with Kristen Bell and Ted Danson.
Yep.
Right? It's Ted Danson, right?
Ted Danson.
Yes.
Yeah, and you know, just overall, Manny is just a great guy and The Good Place is a great show, and we're actually going to seek to cover that in the next couple of weeks, but I hope you guys enjoy this episode. It was a pleasure speaking with him. And
yeah, Manny was a great guy.
Yeah.
Manny's a great guy. We talked about a little bit about, you know, what his new projects are. We talked about Tom Cruise. We talked about his up and coming new Hulu series. A lot of cool things. And things got a little deep here and there.
Yeah, exactly. Right? No.
Yeah, nothing wrong with getting a little deep.
We need more deep conversations these days. But anyways, here it is. Here's our episode with Manny Jacinto. Enjoy.
Enjoy.
Hey, what do you want to watch?
I don't know.
Oh, I actually heard this is really good.
What do you say? Should we commit or quit?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are joined today by a very special guest. His name is Manny Jacinto. Manny, what's up? How are you, dude?
Good. How are you guys?
Good. We're good. You are currently calling us from where?
I'm in Sydney right now, in Australia. Sydney, Australia.
Awesome. Yeah. How are you doing down there? What have you been up to down there?
Nothing much. Kind of just stuck doing nothing really. Waiting to work. Been playing a lot of video games. Playing a lot of Switch, which is not good, but passes my time. Reading a lot. Just doing what I can.
Cool. Well, thanks for making time joining us. We're excited to have you on the show.
Of course.
You know, you're from Canada, I guess, but you were born and raised in the Philippines, in Manila. What age did you go over to Canada?
I was born in the Philippines, in Manila, and then I went over to Vancouver, or more specifically Richmond, British Columbia, when I was 3. So I was still pretty young. Yeah. So Canada's kind of all I know. And then I ended up moving to LA just 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay.
Oh, that's pretty
fairly
recent.
Yeah. You guys are American, right? Or kind of dual?
Yes. We're American. We're American. We're born and raised in Atlanta.
Well, yeah, man, you got 2 Georgia boys here. Then we all went to Boston for college, and then Erickson Seoul full time, and then I live in LA full time. Just here visiting some family. Yeah.
Nice. All right.
You have any siblings?
I need a. I got a sister over in Seattle. But yeah, that's about it. We I guess I never thought we would have made the shift over, but yeah, we both ended up in America.
Yeah.
not that that's a bad thing, but we're like, yeah, it's surprising.
They breached the wall into America.
Yeah. I mean, it's not easy. It's like, oh man, getting over here, it's tough.
We were born and raised in the States, but like, what was it like getting to the States, I guess, like as an adult, right? If you moved over 5 years ago, is that a crazy process?
On paper, it's literally, this is what it says. You have to prove that you're the top 5% in your field, in your country. For whatever you're trying to get into. So if you want to go to the States and be an actor, you have to prove to the US government that you're in the top 5% percentile.
Oh, okay.
Through the like visa package. So it's like, you got to come up with all this evidence and like reference letters and press, and just all of this proof to prove to the US government that you're legitimately talented in what you do. And then you get a 3-year visa to work only in that field though. So then like you can't, if you get a visa as an actor, you can't go to, I can't go to Starbucks and, you know, make a living and pay a rent if I'm not, you know, doing my other main gig. So it's, it's crazy. But
how did you prove that you're in the top 5% of actors in all of Canada? How did that work?
My case was a bit, and I don't exactly like telling this story because I got really lucky, but it was because of like through the audition of The Good Place that NBC was like, hey, we want this guy. Let's get him a visa and let's get him into the States to work. But that's not always the case. So I got really, really lucky.
That's awesome, though. I mean, you know, I was reading up a little bit on your background and stuff, and you have a degree in civil engineering, which is quite different from, I'm sure it comes in very handy when you're acting, but...
Oh, yeah, yeah, all the time.
Right. I guess, like, was acting and being in film or TV always a goal or passion of yours? Like, how did you make that transition from civil engineering grad to acting?
This is weird to say, but it's like the Jabberwockies, man.
Really?
It was like, I think it kind of just comes down to that. Just like seeing those guys, like particularly Asian faces on TV and like dancing and being like, hey, I like doing, like, I would love to do that. That I think that's super cool. Let's take a dance class. And then just from that little piece of curiosity, I went from studying civil engineering during the day to taking classes at night to like living completely two different lives, which was a great time.
So it wasn't much, I guess, until like a bit later in your life where you were kind of like, hey, this is something I want to consider.
I think I was like 19, 20. I was pretty old. Yeah.
What was your first break, or like what was, you know, your idea of like, you know what, this is something that I could actually try and pursue?
I think it was literally just taking that first class. Like it's so like corny or cheesy to say, but like taking that first dance class that I did and just sucking, like failing hard and like, you know, looking like a complete idiot, but getting one single move and it feeling so good, I was just like, I'm hooked. It was literally just like a taste of what could be. And I followed that feeling and just kept going with it, which was nuts. Because never, like, I don't have any family members in the industry. I don't have any close friends who are artists. It kind of just like, it was the first thing that I chose to do for myself. And I guess it's been paying off for now.
Dude, so that's awesome. I got a quick question. So the Jabberwockies, you discovered them. Was it on YouTube or America's Best Dance Crew?
It was on America's Best Dance Crew. Yeah.
Wow.
Just seeing those guys. Yeah. It was like the right time. And like, it was crazy. I was just curious about it. And it just fueled something in me to be like, hey, let's try that.
I guess the ironic thing about that is like, they're all faceless, right? They all wear their masks, but.
Yeah.
Knowing behind there, they're like Asian Americans running it. That's pretty
totally. Neat. And the fact, the fact that they were like the top, you know, that they were highly skilled in what they were doing. Like, it definitely gave me a sense of pride.
No, I completely agree with you. I remember watching that and be like, yo, Asians are killing it on this show. Asians were killing America's Best Dance Crew, ABDC, and they were killing YouTube. We were just everywhere for like, you know, the few years. We're like, yo, gotta check out the Asian homies doing their thing. And I remember that distinctly. And there was like a big phase of everybody wanting to be like the Jabberwockies or, you know, one of those dance crews, Cabo Modern or whatever on those shows. So I completely relate with you on that.
I mean, especially during that time, there weren't any storylines that were, you know, Asian centric. And this, it was through dance that they were able to tell their own story, which I found really dope.
Yeah. So how did you get into it because you were interested in dancing and hip hop. And then it led into acting. Like, did you just start going out for auditions? How did you just kind of stumble into that? What happened?
Just started taking classes. Vancouver is known for being like the Hollywood North. So, there's a lot of productions that go on up there, like a lot of CW stuff. And a lot of different productions. So it's easy. I think it's easier to kind of get your foot in the door in Vancouver than it is in LA. Whereas, cause it's such a bigger pool in LA and everybody's trying to figure out how to do this thing. And it's so expensive to take classes. And when you're in classes, there's so many people, but in Vancouver, like it's very, it's close knit, you know, there's a smaller pond and a good amount of opportunity to kind of get your foot in the door. So, I mean, location being living in Vancouver was a huge advantage, and having that dance background was really a huge advantage too. But I really just took acting classes because I wanted to improve my stage performance with dance, like my persona on stage. So, but then I just found this crazy thing that felt really good. So I just pursued that. It was all just based on feeling, which is weird.
Man, how'd your parents feel about all of this?
Oh, they were not having it. Just like every other Asian parent. But like to them, it's like, hey, I gave them that, you know, that piece of paper. I was like, I'll finish school, get that done. And just give me some time to do this. Give me like 5 years to do this. And then if I'm in the exact same spot, then I'll reconsider my path. Yeah.
There you go. That's cool. Got to have a backup plan. Got to show them some sort of insurance.
Always. always.
Got
it. Yeah. How about you, Eric?
I got a job in consulting at Deloitte. And I had all that locked down. And I was like, I think I want to take a year off before I start, because I'd always been passionate about two things, about service work and then music, and I'd never really been able to pursue them head on. And so once I had the diploma, I had the job, I was like, yo, I'm going to go try this thing for a year, and a year later, you know, I'll come back. And it just so happened that I got on this TV show, kind of like American Idol, and then life happens. I quit my job and been in Korea since 2011. Which is long. But that's kind of crazy how life is, you know? Absolutely.
There's like a common thread amongst a lot of our guests, right?
Right.
Like even from Simu to Ronnie Chang being an attorney, it's like you had to do everything that your parents wanted you to do, but at a certain point, you've got to take your own path and just take that risk. And you know, luckily, it's panned out.
Do you know what's interesting though? I feel like part of that is like around our age, we're probably that perfect in between like first generation immigrant parents and then like just full on, you know, second, third generation Asian American. And so we are in that phase of like, we have to do both. So we have to be able to convince our parents that we can't do this and then stay true to our more American or Canadian Western selves. But I think like by the time we have kids, it won't matter. It'll be like, whatever. I'm just going to be an actor from age 10. You know, that's kind of what I'm hoping for.
I could definitely see that. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's like having gone through a university, that definitely instilled like a certain work ethic that I needed for acting, because it is a very like intrinsic thing, but also a very energy type, or like there's a feeling aspect to it. So like it kind of goes hand in hand, and without having gone through university and like studying all that stuff, I don't think I'd be able to do what I'm doing now, because it's, you know, it uses both sides of the brain, which is
makes sense.
Acting's hard. I don't know how actors do it. I'm gonna just put it like that. I don't know.
I think you could do it, man. I think anybody could do it. It's just like a skill that needs to be learned. Just like, you know, but yeah.
What's up, Commit or Quit family? This is Eric here, and this week's episode of Commit or Quit is supported by BetterHelp.com. Now, if you guys have been listening to Commit or Quit or my music or my interviews, you guys know that I discuss mental health and my feelings and emotions pretty openly. And the reason I do that is because I think it's important to normalize discussions around it, because for some reason, apparently people just feel uncomfortable talking about it and sharing it. Now, I think it's important to normalize it, especially because early on in my career in Korea, you know, I wanted to go see a therapist about how I was feeling, and it was very much frowned upon, and I was discouraged from doing so. And that's why I'm really excited to share with you today's sponsor, our supporter. It's BetterHelp, because they allow people to get access to therapy and counseling at any time from any place without having anybody know. So it's BetterHelp. Better H-E-L-P. It's an affordable alternative to offline counseling, and they also provide financial aid for people who need it. They have licensed professional counselors who are specialized in a ton of different areas, from depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, sleeping, LGBT matters, grief, anger, etc., etc. Whatever you want to talk about, anything you're going through, they have the right person for you to talk to them about it. Now, it's much more affordable and convenient than seeking somebody out in person, especially during these times of coronavirus. In fact, some people are using it that they're hiring a lot more counselors. So I speak a lot on living a healthy, happy, fulfilled life. And I just want you to know that there are resources available for you to do so as well, such as BetterHelp.com. And as a listener of Commit or Quit, you can get 10% off your first entire month by visiting BetterHelp.com/DiveStudios. You can join more than 1 million people who are taking charge of their mental health and happiness. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, BetterHelp.com/DiveStudios for 10% off your first month. I just signed up to try it out, and I just got a message, so I'm just scheduling my consultation, my counselor, and I don't know what I'm going to talk about yet. But anyways, if you guys, again, are interested, check it out, BetterHelp.com/DiveStudios. Now back to this amazing show, Commit or Quit. Thanks. I think a lot of people, most of our fans probably will know you from The Good Place. I believe there was 5 seasons, right, of that show?
Four seasons. Yeah.
Four.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. 4 seasons of The Good Place. What was it like kind of being, what was it being on that show? How was that?
It was probably the best way to be introduced into Hollywood. Because I mean, you hear all the horror stories of, you know, people being divas and all the politics and like the harassments that are going on right now, and people getting attacked. But like our show, it was, our showrunner has this policy of a no asshole policy. So he definitely makes sure that we all get along and that we, that everybody that he works with, whether it be the actors and the cameramen and the crew, they all have to be like good, genuine, decent people, or else they're just, they're done. So yeah, I mean, I lucked out. Like they, it was a dream to work on that show for real. And I'm not just saying that because I'm done. I could talk shit all day if there was shit to talk about, but
right.
Like, no, it was actually a dream to work on it.
That's awesome. I mean, congratulations on that. I mean, I haven't finished all four seasons yet, but it is a very, it's like one of those steady, just feel good shows that you can watch at any time, which I think is great.
Thanks, man.
Right.
And I was also saying that you're working with this dude I think people have probably heard of. His name is, I think, Tom Cruise or something, in some movie that's like supposed to be epic. Right.
Yeah, it rings a bell. I'm just not sure who he is, though.
I don't know. Tom,
yeah.
I don't know. But how are you guys some done with rookie. That? Are you guys still shooting or what's going on there?
Yeah, we're done. We stopped shooting like, I want to say sometime last year. But because of, you know, this whole quarantine situation, the premiere date's been postponed further and further. Like it was actually supposed to come out, I think, July of 2020. And then it got pushed to Christmas of 2020. And then now it's next year. Next summer. Yeah.
Jeez. It's brutal.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to add two questions. First, I guess working with Tom Cruise. I obviously don't know much about your role or whatever, but I assume he's very hands-on with his films and what he does.
Yeah, yeah. He's intense, man. Like he doesn't expect anything less from his actors, from his crew. Like he's kind of everywhere. He's like the actor, he's a director, he's doing everything. 'Cause it's his baby. Like there's no reason for him to slack. Top Gun was the reason why he, no pun intended, flew to the stars. He, you know, it's what kind of made his career. So what he's behind Top Gun, he's definitely trying to produce something that people haven't seen before. And now kind of knowing Tom, he's not going to disappoint. So yeah, I mean, I can't say much, but he's just on another level.
I'm excited. Yeah.
He's the real deal. He's the real deal. I've recently just watched a movie called like The Edge of Tomorrow. It was on Netflix. Have you guys seen it?
Yeah, I have.
It's pretty like it's pretty crazy and I thought it was interesting in that role that like he had to play this guy who was like nerdy and has never fought and this untrained, you know, publicist essentially. But in my head, I'm like, dude, he is such a badass. And everything that he's played, like, this is so unbelievable. You know what I mean?
And there's, like, there aren't any more movie stars. Like, he's as relevant today as he was 30 years ago. Like, and you can't say that for a lot of people.
Right.
So he's a rarity.
I mean, I'd say the same thing in music right now. It's really hard to come across like legends anymore. You know, it was like so bottlenecked, especially in Hollywood or in the music industry that now there's so many different forms of content, so many people buying, so many new actors. But I mean, when it comes to a Tom Cruise, I mean, this is like, he's like a Michael Jackson type of figure when it comes to film, you know?
Yeah.
So.
And he's still alive and kicking and going. And he does, he's not going to stop.
That's the crazy thing. The dude is not going to stop.
Yeah, I really don't like unless he, I don't know, something happens. Like fingers crossed, nothing happens. But unless something happens on a set, that guy is not going to stop. But in terms of like working out and stuff, like the first time, once I got word that I was going to be in that movie, I just headed straight to the gym. I was like, there's going to be some sort of scene where we all have to take our shirts off and stuff. No spoiler alert or nothing, or like fingers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's literally just the first
that's
place
a safe,
I went.
Safe assumption, I would say.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's awesome. Very cool.
Yeah.
Congratulations on that.
Thanks.
Awesome.
Dude.
You're joining us on the show called Commit or Quit. And as our listeners, most of them know already. If you're listening for the first time, we pretty much have our guests bring on a show, movie, or whatever, and we talk about it, and we decide if we love it and we're going to commit to it, or we hate it and we're going to quit it. And it's because there's so much content out there. We got to curate well for our people. Now, recently we've had some reviews where people get really upset that we decided to quit a show. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. This is purely our opinion. If we don't like a show, we have a right to not like a show. So that's don't right. Get on
what shows
our case.
Have you guys nixed?
Because our entire review is based off the first two episodes, right? The premise is that we don't want to go through an entire season to decide if we like this or not. So it's you get two episodes, and if it sucks, then we're out.
Maybe. So that's fair. It's like there's some dramas we've seen that were just like so bad that Eric and I would avoid contact with each other. We just would not want to record the episode because we're just like, we have nothing good to say. But it ends up being really? Like a really, really good episode. But you know, I think like the way we arranged it over the last 2 months, we hit like 6 rom-coms and we're just like, this is too much. And we have dramas that are like top tier, you know, undeniably great writing, like everybody's raving about it. And then they're, you know, tier 2, tier 3. And we have no patience for that shit. Get that out of here.
We're getting recommendations. Time is the most precious thing.
Exactly. And these things are long.
You can't get that back.
They're like an hour and a half each episode. So anyways, Attack on Titan, 25-minute episodes. Fantastic length.
I love it.
Yeah.
I was like… I we could jump into it. We're going to jump into it. It's called Attack on Titan. So Manny brought it to us. Before we jump into it, can you just kind of preface for us why you chose this show?
I mean, I don't watch a lot of TV. Mm-hmm. And when I get into something, I really get into something. And with this show, with this anime, I remember just binging at least the first season over a weekend. And there's, I think, like 35 episodes. I've never done that before. I think the last time I've done that was like with, I can't even remember, but I was just hooked. I couldn't stop watching it because every episode ends on a cliffhanger. And it just ends on something that just pulls you in. And I just needed to know what was going to happen next. And it's, like in terms of like a show that I binged, like this is probably the one and only that I've done that to, I think, or at least I could remember.
Okay. Well, I'm excited to talk about this with you. Just a reminder to our listeners, there are spoilers for the first few episodes because obviously we have to talk about the show. The show is called Attack on Titan. In Japanese, I'm going to butcher the pronunciation, but it's Shingeki no Kyojin. And it is a Japanese dark fantasy anime adapted from an award-winning manga by Hajime Isayama. And the TV series written by Yasuko Kobayashi and Hiroshi Seko. And the first season was released in 2013. And the final season is rumored to air at the end of this year. And it's available on Netflix. So Eddie, go ahead. Please share with us the Netflix synopsis.
With his hometown in ruins, young Eren Yeager becomes determined to fight back against the giant titans that threaten to destroy the human race.
Dun, dun, dun. All right. So just a quick reference for our listeners. There's the main protagonist is Eren Yeager. He is a teenager. He's like this super, super, how do you say this? Hot-headed, I think kind of I don't know yet, but there's this sense of narcissism that I get from the first two episodes where he's just, everything is about how he sees the world. And then there's his friend / adopted sister, Mikasa Ackerman. And then Hans, Hannes, Hans, I don't know. I don't know. My pronunciation might be weird, yeah. But it's Eren's family friend and a soldier at the gate. So there's a bunch of characters, but Eren and Mikasa, I think, for the first two episodes are the most important. So here's a quick breakdown of the plot. Pretty much, they live in this district called Shiganshina District. And pretty much, they live in this world where there are three ringed walls where all the human population lives. Because outside of these three walls, there are these monstrosity, huge, big-ass monster things, humanoid creatures that eat people for the fun of it because they're just messed up in that way. And so they're all living in these three concentric circles and they're supposed to be protected. Not a single titan has been able to breach these walls in over 100 years. And so everybody's calm. Everybody's like very lackadaisical about it. And oh, what do you know? First episode, the Titans come bashing in the walls. They're going to start eating people. And then Eren's mom gets straight up eaten. And they all start escaping. And over the first two episodes, it's like a quick progression of a few years where Eren goes from this young teenager and his friend slash sister, Mikasa, they go from young teenager to young adults who are, all they're thinking about is getting revenge on Titans and becoming soldiers to fight Titans. That's pretty much how I see the first two episodes. Eddie, Manny, did I miss anything? Anything massive I'm missing here?
I think the one thing that stands out is I think there's one more character, Armin. He's like the blonde-headed one.
Ah, right.
That's a bit like a part of the group. But other than that, you nailed it, man. It's that's kind of the summary of the Attack on Titan. What'd you guys think? Like,
all right,
I'm done the third season. I just finished actually last night. What do you guys have to say?
Eric, why don't you go first?
All right. So the last like anime that I've seen is like Pokemon. Okay. So it's been a minute since I've seen anything that's animated that's not like a Disney film. I don't know why. Like, I maybe in my head, in my perception, in my worldview, like anime seems very like so otherworldly to me that I've never like had, I don't know, I've never been curious to click through. I've always just like that's actors fair. And like, you know, true life kind of stuff. So I had like low expectations when I started, to be very blunt and honest, but I liked it a lot. I'll just go ahead and throw it out there. I personally liked it. Like you were saying, there's a lot of cliffhanging at the end of each episode. And a lot of parallels that we can pull from this show and life right now. And so, I don't know about you, but like everything that I watch these days, I'm like, oh my gosh, how does this relate to my life and coronavirus? Why am I so scared of everything? That's where I'm at.
Mm. Right.
But there's definitely a lot of great themes that we can jump into. But my first reception was... perception was, oh, this is pretty solid. And then the other thing was like, man, I can't believe that people draw all this stuff. People sit there and draw this stuff by hand.
Right.
Or whatever. That's crazy. So that was me.
Yeah.
Eddie, how about you?
Yeah, just to echo you, I mean, I don't really watch that much anime either. I think I did a lot in middle school. However, I mean, it was really apparent to me when I turned it on, like the animation was like a little bit darker. You know, the music was like extremely serious, even the lyrics and the theme song. So it set the table for something pretty epic. And obviously when you see whatever these Titans are, and as you can, if you guys are watching the Zoom highlight, I have a photo of one of these Titans in the background. They're terrifying. You know, they're terrifying. They're huge. They just eat people. There's just so many questions I have that need to be solved, because the first two episodes, like, things are just happening. You're just thrown into this like dumpster fire and you're like, holy shit, like, what, like, who is this, like, why is this like perverted old man looking giant, like, you know, why do they look this way? And what are these things? Yeah. And to Eric's point earlier about our protagonist, Aaron, like, yeah, he's narcissistic and he's very self-centered, but his mom just got eaten, bro. Like, this dude, he's going through some things. And so it's setting up for a nice revenge story. But there are just so many things in this world I don't understand. Yeah. And so I just have to keep watching. So, you know, thank you for picking this. Like, it's definitely looped my brain quite a bit.
I mean, I don't, like you guys, I don't watch any. The last anime I watched is probably, Pokemon or maybe Dragon Ball when I was like in seventh grade or something. But yeah, this is, I don't know how I fell upon this. I think it was just because it was on Netflix and I was like looking through it. And then I think a buddy of mine mentioned it and I was like, okay, let's see what this is all about. And because it's only 25, 35 minutes, like it's a quick binge. Like, okay, I'm not going to be in it for that long if it sucks. But no, they hook you like right in the first episode and I just kept going. Right. And yeah, man, like you said, Eddie, like there's so many questions that need to be answered, that compels you to keep watching, which is just a skill to like really great storytelling, I think.
Right. Exactly.
I remember seeing this on Netflix. I was like, there's no way in hell I'm going to watch this thing. Like, it's been on Netflix since 2013. Yep. And it's always been on the front page. I'm like, I'm not watching this thing. It looks weird. And I don't like these creature looking things. And I'm not about it. But here I am watching it. I've already gone past the two episodes. I'm just going to go ahead and let everybody know who's listening. I've already kind of committed. And like you're saying, it's great because it's like 25, 30 minutes and I'm not going to fear. Like, I could stop and watch it anytime. So it's great.
Right.
So I guess like one thing that, you know, some of the themes that we could talk about, one thing is just like the idea of complacency. And I think that was like one of the first things that the show starts off with is when Aaron's like freaking out. He's like, we're going to have these monsters show up and they're going to eat us. But all these soldiers are being complacent. And also just like also the parallel to kind of real life events where it's be it like climate change or the global pandemic or wealth disparity. There's just like so many different things that I felt was very current and resonated with society today. Was there anything for you, Manny, watching it? Like, obviously, this is an anime, so maybe not. And we might be forcing a little bit. But, you know, having watched all three seasons, what is like a theme, a larger thing that you think this show really does well at hitting on?
I mean, yeah, just to repeat what you said, you kind of, I didn't even think about it until you kind of mentioned it. But like the whole complacency, the idea of complacency with the soldiers just doing their job for the sake of doing their job, but not really being prepared. And that's kind of exactly what happened when the pandemic hit, where people were just being complacent and they're like, don't worry, it's going to go away. Like, it'll be fine. Like everything is good. And then shit hits the fan and there's no turning back. And then you live in a hotel room for 2 weeks. It's crazy. That's definitely a huge parallel to what we're going through right now. As you keep watching, because I can't spoil anything further, but there are definitely a lot of parallels to what's happening with like the movement, with the BLM movement happening right now, and also with, you know, that there's a lot of things that we can compare further down the road.
And even the first episode, it starts off with a massive titan. So just like just a giant, like skyscraper type of beefy man coming and climbing over this wall that they said, hey, this is like 500 meters tall. Nobody's penetrated this in over 100 years. We're fine.
Yeah.
Okay. And just like the pandemic and any other thing like climate change, like it takes like a natural disaster like a hurricane or a massive tornado or something crazy that will affect your day-to-day life for people to react. Like, so when this monster breaks through the wall and you got all these people in this little village looking up at them, they're like, holy shit, it's here. It's like the same thing as coronavirus. It's like, yeah, we know they're out there. It's out there, but who really cares? Like, we're fine. We're fine. We're fine. It's only hitting Asia. And then before you know it, it's like, wow, this is really bad in New York. And then we're in a frenzy with zero backup plan. And seeing that was just like infuriating. And then also struck a nerve in me where I'm like, oh my God, this is just like human nature. And we're seeing it played out in the worst way possible in this show.
For sure. And like when you, if you stick through the journey, like, and especially if, you know, you're really passionate about something and you're pursuing something, like, I think anybody could relate. Like with the main character, with Aaron, you relate to his need to become something, to become like a soldier or to become a fighter and whatnot. And like, for me, I related to that, like with wanting to become an artist, an actor or a dancer and whatnot. So I could see like the passion that he had, and that really struck a chord with me to really stick with the show.
Right. Mm. Exactly. To that point about the perseverance and overcoming adversity, which at least from what we've seen in the first two episodes seems a very central theme here. You know, like you see that something horrible like this happens and it affects a guy like Aaron very, very personally. So like his life's work and his goal is to get revenge on these things. So like anything, even again, relating it back to real life, it's like something tragic happens to you and affects you personally. Then, you know, it will create these warriors or these people that are going to fight for social justice and fight against climate change. And we need people like that. We need more Aarons in the world that are going to be like, hey, like this is effed up and it needs to change. I think until it affects somebody personally, maybe it is just human nature to just ignore it. Mm. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Yeah.
It's like unless it happens to you or your family. Like, do y'all have anybody that's been affected directly with COVID?
I mean, I know a lot of people who have had it. And I think, Eddie, you know some people who've had like family members pass away, right?
Yeah.
Actually, I do know some people, actually.
Yeah, recently a couple of my friends, actually, their grandparents have passed away from COVID. And then like being in Georgia, it's like we're all young. You kind of feel invincible. And even though people are like taking all the proper precautions, still like a few people within my circle have gotten COVID and have had to make the rounds and call people and say like, yeah, you know, someone from my work had it, blah, blah, blah. And so like people, even like our parents or our grandparents, like the people that are probably even more affected by this, they don't really acknowledge it until it becomes a reality, right? Like, oh, so-and-so's uncle passed away. And then it hits closer to home and thinking, okay, maybe I should acknowledge this thing and be more careful. But it's like this constant thing of out of sight, out of mind. It is like this invisible thing where you don't have like a, you know, a red marking on your chest saying I have COVID. And that's what's so, so difficult right now. There are no real penalties either. So people are just going to keep living their life. I mean, I'm going down a downward spiral.
We got to stop this guy here. Otherwise, he's going to go on for 30 minutes about how much upset he is, which I understand and I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Stay on track.
I guess when it comes to complacency, though, like one thing that I was thinking about, like, and I had this discussion a few days ago, actually, is like, I get very nervous when I'm complacent. I wish I was okay with being complacent. I truly do. But my personality does not allow me to feel comfortable. If I feel comfortable, that makes me uncomfortable. Like, and a part of me is like, there's got to be a condition or something in my head where I'm like, this is a problem. But like, do any of you guys have that? Like, I straight up have it.
Do you think that comes from like genetically, is that you, or is that, do you think that comes from how you were raised?
I think it comes from how I was raised and my life experiences. And I think part of it is like, I've always, if I'm not busy, if I'm not like doing something different constantly, I've always felt like I'm going to be left behind, or I'm not going to be able to fit in, or I'm not going to be able to get ahead. And that's kind of what has fueled so much, not even through college and then post, like my career, everything. People are always like, why do you do so much? But I'm like, I don't know. Maybe there's a word for it. Maybe there's a condition for it. But I'm like terrified of complacency. And it's exhausting.
No, that's fair, man. Like I mean, I'd like to think that I'm the same. Like I can't, like I have the mentality that if I'm, you know, asleep, if I'm like not working on something else, if I'm not bettering myself, somebody else is going to take my spot. And I don't know if that comes from like playing sports when I was younger, or like, you know, going through dance, or just maybe just being a competitive person. But like, I always feel like there's somebody coming up right behind me that if I'm not working on whatever it may be, like if I'm not studying, if I'm not learning a different skill that I can apply to acting later on, like I know that somebody else is going to take my spot. And it's like, I don't know if it comes from a sense of fear. It probably is like a sense of fear and being afraid to disappoint, you know? But I totally get that, man. Like I try not to be complacent because, yeah, I want to keep going. Yeah. And I also think it comes from, I also think it comes from like, I think from an early age, I really, like not to get so like down a spiral or too deep, but like I really committed to like living, if that makes any sense. Like I remember specifically like when I was younger, and like this really sucks to say, but like seeing old people, like seniors, like in wheelchairs, or like my grandparents on their bed and just kind of just dying, and being like, fuck, like I'd rather, you know, live a full life and die at like 40 or 50 than, you know, just live a long life of doing nothing and live until I'm 100. Like, but I don't know. Maybe that's,
I think what you just said right there is very, bring it back to the show. That's kind of like this protagonist Aaron's mentality too, right? He's like, I want to live and go beyond the wall. I want to experience everything that there is for me. Even if it might kill me, even if it might be terrifying, I'd rather be proactive about it. And tying that to what you just said, like I read that you're actually, you consider yourself like a thrill seeker. And I think like in a certain way, like to be pursuing acting and to have pursued dancing, like absolutely that is in it as well. But are there particular other sports or interests that really, you know, drive you to follow them, or anything that you've explored for just for the seeking thrills?
I mean, other than like, because the arts world was completely unknown to me, because like I said, I didn't have anybody to kind of get advice from or get mentorship from. So that was a huge step. And I just remember like maybe studying for an exam and like being able to see every stage of my life, like of getting a job as an engineer, getting married, working there for 30 years, retiring, and then dying, and being like, fuck that. That can't be it. I can't just do that. And like a switch just came off for me.
Eric, you've been pretty vocal about that. Yeah.
I mean, I had to, because my thing was pretty clear. I was like, okay, if I take this job, chances are, by the time I'm like 20, what, you graduated 22, right? Okay. By 25, 26, I'll be off to get my MBA. I'll probably come back to consulting because it'll pay for my MBA. And then I'm 30. And then I'm going to be married with kids, which is fine. That's like nothing wrong with that. But I'll probably just be working there with like the golden handcuffs kind of thing. Feeling like I have to work at that company or some similar company to provide for our family. And like having missed out on things that I would be really passionate about, such as music or, you know, film, TV or anything else. And so I completely hear you on that. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been taking the time just, you know, during quarantine, during this new time, I've been going through my iCloud and just looking at all the touring videos and Eric going to like Dubai and touring Europe and Australia and all these crazy places. And you're just like, what an amazing job and like occupation in some ways. Like, yes, I think everybody works hard. It's just like, what can you work hard in that makes you feel validated and you derive meaning from as well? And just like, you take a step back, you're playing a show in like Florence and you're like, you got to just take a moment and be like, this is pretty damn cool, you know? Mm. And so, yeah, I think that all being stripped away makes this a lot more difficult at the moment. But yeah, I see it with a lot of Asian Americans, Asian Canadians. It's just like, we know exactly what our parents wanted, but you still went left because you just had to. So
what I will say though, is that with like going back to the complacency idea and like wanting more and more, that I needed to check myself because I would find myself not being present, if that makes any sense. Because with what you're saying, Eddie, like, you know, reminiscing and like going back to seeing all these great things that I've done or that you've done, like, mm-hmm. I would notice that I'd be on a job and like, I wouldn't be happy. I wouldn't be satisfied. Because I was always looking for the next thing. Mm. So then I really needed to be like, I needed to change something in my head and be like, hey, it's okay to be here right now and enjoy what you're doing. And you can worry about that next thing later, but just make sure that you celebrate what you've accomplished or what you are accomplishing right now, because that's going to be a never ending cycle. Mm. So that is like the downfall of not being complacent, is always wanting more, right? You know, right. And not being present.
I completely hear you on that. I think that if anything, like coronavirus has forced me to think of that even more. Like, because we have time and we're just like, I'm sure for all of us here, we've gone through the past 10 years since post-grad, just being like, all right, let's sprint. Let's freaking go. Like build, be everywhere, do everything. And I look back and I'm like, when did I even do this? Like, I don't even remember doing this. Like, but apparently I did do a show in Dubai. Apparently I did do this thing in Kenya or Uganda or whatever. Like, those are things that, you know, looking back, you're like, ah, oh, man, I wish I could have enjoyed it a little more. But it's kind of like it's a downfall. It's the flaw in being as proactive as we are. I had a friend the other night. He was like, I didn't see him in a while. And he was like, dude, whenever I hang out with you, like, we end up talking about work. Why is that? I was like, probably because I'm always like trying to figure out what's next. And it made me sad for a minute because I'm like, man, like, why do I feel like I'm living this? I don't want to say a rat race, but like this hyperactive life. But yeah. It's hard for you to kind of snap out of that. Like, how have you managed, how have you managed to kind of take a step back? Or have are there things that have allowed you to be more present? Or certain practices or anything like that?
I would actually say I owe a lot to my fiance, my fiance Diane Doan, because she is definitely one to, I mean, she does have the whole like what's next thing, but she's definitely forced me to be like, hey, let's enjoy this. Let's celebrate this. Like from the smallest things of, not small things, but like from, like us, an example is like the show going to Comic-Con. Like for the first time we got to go to Comic-Con, like I was so worried about what we were going to say, what we were going to do the next day, and how we were going to be perceived, and if, you know, if we were going to have any fans. But she like forced me to be like, hey, this is, it's just amazing that you're here. And there are people that support you, and there are fans here that want to see you. Like, just enjoy that. Don't worry about, you know, what the next day is going to be like. Just enjoy it and be here, because this is an opportunity that a lot of people don't get to do. So I owe that. Yeah, I owe a lot of it to her, because she's, mm-hmm. yeah, she's been a huge proponent to that. And also meditating. Meditating is mm-hmm. huge. Taking the time to just, you know, figure out what's going on with myself and just calm my thoughts. It's a mm. it's a big thing. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Have you guys?
Similar to you, Manny, I just got married. So I do have like an anchor that is actually not in entertainment at all. Besides
Congrats.
Knowing. Thank you. But she knows everything about it because of all the conversations with my brothers and my clients. But it's great to have somebody that can just reset it and be like, dude, like at the end of the day, this isn't like life or death. Just take a step back. Enjoy the fact that you're here and you're at Coachella and all these things. And mm-hmm. having that reset button, having that different perspective, it definitely helps, you know. And you're working for something outside of yourself. So mm-hmm. I understand there too. But Eric, what about you? I mean, I know your day-to-day schedule. When Manny said meditation, I was like, dang, that could be really good for Eric. But then I'm also like, dude, I don't know if you could calm yourself down. You're like Energizer Bunny.
My thing with meditation is like same with prayer. I often find myself falling asleep when I meditate or pray. Like,
that's right.
So, and then I feel really guilty about it. So I have like this weird thing with like meditation and prayer, but I don't know. I think the only thing that I've done, not even done, like I try to do when it comes to trying to take things a day at a time is like right now, it's like if and when somebody will just hit me up, it's like, hey, do you want to grab a drink or do you want to grab a meal? Like before I'd be like, no, I'm busy. Now I'm just like, okay. If I have 30 minutes, if I have an hour, even that time, let's go. We'll go, we'll do it. And my friends, if they're doing a get together, usually I'm always like, I can't go. But now it's like, be intentional in who you hang out with, what you're doing. And when I'm there, even if I'm like, oh, I'm tired or like, I want to leave, I make it a point to think to myself like, but isn't it amazing that I have, you know, this group of friends or these people that I can spend time with or XYZ. And that's kind of been, I think, the one thing that's allowed me to kind of calm down in some ways and to put things in perspective. But I don't know. I tell myself that like, this is something that I'll like get through it. It's like a phase, but I also know that it's probably not. It's just the way I'm wired. So
yeah. I mean, there's definitely different ways to meditate too. Like it doesn't necessarily have to be like sitting upright and like in a silent, like meditation can come in the form of walking, you know, walking outside for 10 minutes or working out even. I found working out as, you know, being some sort of meditative process or like, I think with dance, like dance has a meditative process to that. Like, so it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, breathing and thinking about nothing, but like for me, like I can't just do it by myself. I'm always on an app. Like I use the Calm app to guide me through meditation for like 10 minutes. But yeah, I mean, I also kind of got into it because I read a lot of nonfiction. So a lot of like self-help stuff. And I've just noticed a lot of CEOs and people that have done extraordinary things. I've noticed that they take the time to meditate before they start their day.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
That's cool. So, you know, we're already like an hour into our conversation, so we should probably slowly start to wrap things up. I don't know how that happened. I feel like we just talked about normal things bros would talk about in a deeper real fashion. This is probably one of the more sincere episodes we've had on this entire season of the show. But
sorry, guys.
No, it's good because it's, I feel like that's part of the great thing about having guests is that we are able to dive into so many different topics in different ways. And that's why we love doing this. So we appreciate, you know, not only the show that you chose, but also the conversations that we're having that are just more about life and how we lead it, which I think is great. And I think a lot of listeners can, they don't have to learn from, but they can, I'm sure anybody can appreciate listening to this kind of stuff. But right. Because we're talking about Commit or Quit, and it is supposed to be about this amazing dark anime show, as we wrap it up, could you give our listeners your best argument for why they should watch Attack on Titan if they haven't done so already, if they're not convinced yet? Why should they watch this?
It's just incredible. To me, as whose whole life is committed to storytelling, this is one of the few pieces of narrative or art, whatever you want to call it, that is so masterfully done. In the way it's being told and the way it's being drawn, it's just everything. It's like the Parasite of anime. Yeah, that's kind of my argument.
Those are some
Parasite of anime.
Fighting bold words, sir.
Yeah, thanks.
Dang.
But Eddie, what did you think? Are you going to commit or are you going to quit?
Yeah, this is a definite commit for me. It's been a nice change of pace. Again, we haven't watched anime in so long, but the storytelling, it's like there are no boundaries to this because people are writing it from their imagination. It's not like, you know, it has to be confined to a certain setting. It's just so many unknowns. It's like pulsating action. You find out very, very quickly why Eren is becoming the way he is. And I just think like, most importantly, I need to know why the Titans exist. I need to know why.
That's what,
like,
I'm saying.
Yeah. And why some of these Titans look like these like perverted, crazy looking, like just really uncomfortable, you know, old, like balding, like Oompa Loompas that, you know, need to get their shit kicked in. You know what I mean? Like with the grins on their faces. I'm just like, oh my God. Yeah. Like, and my last point is to Eren, I really empathize with the guy because he's so young, right? He's like a 12-year-old kid, but not only do people look at kids as like, you can't really do anything, you're just a kid, but the opponent, the opposition he's up against, they're giants. Like he literally cannot be more frustrated with his current situation. And I feel that because he can't go up and defeat these things on his, even if he's a grown-ass man, these things are like 100 times bigger than him. So I'm just frustrated with him. And his mom got eaten. I love my mom. Okay. So like there needs to be a solution and some revenge that happens. So anyways, it's a commit for me.
Word. You know what? It's a commit for me too. I think part of it is like, look, the episode is 25 to 30 minutes long, which is very doable. Like I could watch a few episodes a day and not feel guilty about having watched a majority, like a lot of it. I think in terms of the story, it's like so, the story to me is David and Goliath with creepier things and otherworldly realities that I'm just curious about. Like for me, the entire time I was watching, it's like, who did what to come up with this idea and draw that? And that's kind of what has me hooked. So I'm curious to see how they justify these creatures and how all of this gets resolved over, I guess, 4 seasons of this. So I'm excited. I appreciate Manny for introducing this to us. I think for some of our listeners, this is going to be a completely different pace or type of show from what they expect. But we're just going to say you're welcome. You're welcome. We're expanding your worldview, okay?
Should we put a disclaimer, though? Like, this is pretty dark. This is
it's
not
pretty
your
dark.
Because you guys said Pokemon. right? And like, what else? Like in Yu-Gi-Oh, like in animation form. But guys, this is not that. There's blood. There's disturbing images. It's
this
like,
is like Walking Dead and Train to Busan.
Yeah.
Meets Game of Thrones.
What?
In when you just threw Game form.
Of Yeah, you just threw Game of Thrones in there just because it's good.
They have a wall. Like, they have a wall. They have three walls.
I would say Maze Runner and Hunger Games.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Well, Manny, before we let you go, we have a few questions from fans that we have from Twitter. And so if you don't mind, we're going to run through a couple of them real quick. This is from Dreamin' G. What is your favorite line from The Good Place or something that happened during filming that has stuck with you till this day?
So so many moments and lines, but I think one of the greatest lines that keeps getting repeated is one of them is I wasn't wait, no. Fuck. I'm just like going through a Rolodex of lines. Apples, you eat their clothes, oranges, you don't. That's one line.
Apples, you eat that their just, clothes and oranges, you don't. Okay. That's an interesting one.
And then there's also like, I wasn't an unsuccessful DJ. I was pre-successful. That always gets repeated. But I mean, it's just like, it also sounds really dumb because it's out of context and you don't know
the scene
and situation. So it just sounds like I'm putting out crap out of my mouth. But like, I mean, I don't know, man. Like just all of it was a dream to have done. But yeah, those small lines and getting to work with freaking Ted Danson is probably the biggest gem of it all.
Man,
he's amazing. You're working some great people as well.
Great people.
Thanks, dude.
Yeah. All right. Last fan question. I'm sure you get this a lot, but I think there's a reason for it. It's because for people who are curious, this is probably one of the few cases that you can actually get some real interesting tips for starting an acting career. I'm sure you get it a billion times. Anything that you go to, anything you think on that?
The biggest one in my head is if you're satisfied doing anything else in your life, do that. But if you have to be an actor, if that's all you can think about, all you can eat about, all you can sleep about, if you're constantly dreaming about it, like, if that's your whole thing, then do it because you'll end up somewhere. But if you're happy, like, you know, working at a gas station or just recording podcasts, like do that because acting isn't, you know, it's not for everybody. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you got to go through a lot of shit, like a lot of no's, a lot of rejection, harassment at times, unfortunately, a lot of doubt, self-doubt. So if you can do anything else, do that. But if you believe that this is something you need to do, then go for it. Because yeah, everybody will, especially if you're an Asian American, Asian Canadian, everybody can benefit from what you have to say.
Amen.
Boom.
Amen, dude.
Love that.
Amazing. Well, Manny, thank you so much for joining us on the show. It's been a pleasure getting to know you and speak with you, albeit it wasn't, you know, a real in-life catch-up, but I'm glad we got to do this. Last question before you go. Yeah, absolutely. What are you looking forward to most right now? And do you have any other projects that you wanted to plug or share with us before we part ways?
Getting my ass out of quarantine. Yeah, I'm just getting back to like normal life. I'm supposed to get married next year.
Congratulations.
Thanks, guys. Like, looking forward to that.
Do you have a date right now or is it just on standby?
We have a date. We're looking at a few dates, but it'll be summer of of next year. And yeah, just looking forward to that. And I'm like, I don't know if we discussed this, but yeah, I'm in Australia right now shooting a show called Nine Perfect Strangers and looking forward to getting started on that. And yeah, man, just kind of looking forward to getting back to normal, if anything.
Mm. All right. Well, thanks again for making time. I hope to stay in touch.
Of course.
And safe and good luck shooting in Sydney.
Thanks, guys. Let me know, honestly, like the journey that you guys go through if you keep watching, because okay. it's a trip.
I'm gonna like text you or DM you, and I'm just gonna have like a watch party by myself, just live tweeting. But
I need some answers.
Thank you guys so much. Yeah, Eddie, anything you want to say before we leave?
No, just thanks for your time, dude. I mean, keep doing what you're doing. It's important.
Thanks, guys.
Like, we're big fans, and just keep up the great work, man. We'll be in touch whenever we overlap in LA or in Australia, if you're still there. And
yeah, sounds good.
Best of luck. Stay positive.
Thanks, guys. Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Yeah.
All right, guys. That's a wrap on this special guest episode of Commit or Quit with Manny Jacinto. If you guys enjoyed learning about Manny and his show recommendation, you guys can catch the full episode of this podcast and all the other podcasts from Dive Studios at youtube.com/divepods. While you're at it, go ahead and tag us on our socials at The Dive Studios. We're pretty much everywhere. And Manny, where can people find you?
Instagram at Manny Jacinto, Twitter at Manny Jacinto. And if you're in Sydney, say what's up.
All right, there we go. Be sure to go ahead and subscribe to Dive Studios on whatever platforms. And if you want to become a patron of ours, go ahead, do so at patreon.com/Dive Studios, because we have some cool perks and full videos and cool things going on. Eddie, anything else?
Nope. Just check it out. stay in tune. Subscribe to our stuff. We're verified everywhere and you'll find us pretty easily. So yeah, thanks for tuning in and we will see you next week.
All right, guys. Bye. Stay safe. Cool. Wear a mask.
Bye.
See you.